I thank them. So let me just start by saying this. My name is Dale Moore from the Black Creek Baptist Church, about an hour and a half south of Buffalo. My wife Amy is sitting back there, and Amy, would you stand up? And then next to her will be my daughter Autumn, and then next to her will be my son Luke. And so we just got home ourselves. I hope you guys don't mind, I'm going to take off my coat here. Just got home ourselves. We did a trip down south, and we hit some churches up down there and preach and present the ministry at down in South Carolina, North Carolina, and Virginia. And it was a blessing. There's a lot of heart challenges, a lot of things that God brought up while we're out there on the road, while we're in that church. In those churches, God brought some things up to us. And it just challenged my heart in different ways that I've never seen, different ways for the ministry to go in. And I thank God for it. Sometimes, you know, when I went on that trip, Brother Paul Scott, I went out of season. For about 3 weeks to a month before that, the Lord just started removing himself from me. He just started leaving me out there on my own, leaving me out there to face these issues, leaving me out there, and I'm wondering, where are you, God, in this? I'm getting ready to go on this trip. Where are you? And he had to leave me in there. He had to leave me there until I got on the road and I started seeing his hand more clearly than I ever did in my life. I started seeing exactly where he had me, where he needed me to go. But you know what? If he didn't bring me that low, I would have never seen it. If I would have went out there full of myself and full of pride, I would have never seen it.
Right.
So therefore, God had to open my eyes that way, and I thank God that he done that. So we have a ministry called Liberty Behind Bars. I'm a mission only in the sense that I'm a missionary to my local church, or excuse me, to my local jail. Allegheny County Jail is where I do most of my work, but you'll see that I'm involved in many churches, but all the way as far as California, okay? As far as down in Pennsylvania and such, we're involved in areas down in there. But when I got into the Allegheny County Jail, let me just say this, let me share, I was not looking for a ministry. I spent many years in jails and prisons. Okay? I grew up in an abused home. My mother was a drug dealer. She had abusive boyfriends that would make us kneel on raw rice in the corners and beat us with inner tube tires. My mother had friends that would make hash brownies and everything else, and we'd be eating them and getting ourselves in trouble. Matter of fact, the first person who ever taught me how to steal was my mother. And this is the life I grew up in, but to make matters worse, I was being molested by a man. And he took something from me. He took something from me as that child. He took my childhood from me. He ripped it from me.
Yeah.
He shredded it. Then on top of that, a babysitter that my mother knew, a woman, started molesting me. And I grew up very hateful and bitter. Very hateful and bitter. And the way that I end up growing up, is we end up moving up to New York. We left Florida, moving up to New York. And the way I started finding relief was hurting other people. I found that when I hurt other people, I got relief. And then I would numb that hurt with the drugs and alcohol. And then it just rolled downhill. And by the time I was 16 years old, I was already doing my first jail bed. I came out of a boys' home, straight from a boys' home right there in the county jail. Straight out from Father Baker's boys' home out there in Buffalo, New York. I went straight from there to the county jail and did my first bid. And in that first bid, I joined my first gang. And as I got out, you know, when you're in jail, oh, things are going to change. I'm going to do things differently this time. Well, jail taught me how to be a better criminal. It taught me how to meet people differently. It taught me how to get more hookups, better drugs, and better ways of doing things.
Amen.
So I thought.
Amen.
And then I started going to prison. In every state I went to, whether it was Florida, whether it was Vermont, here I'd find myself into a jail. Here I'd find myself in a prison. Here I'd find myself in a mental hospital or rehab. That's what my life became. It became an institution. And then I joined a big gang, and I won't say the name. A very violent gang, a very deadly gang. I became very powerful in the gang. I had a lot of power in this gang. I could put green lights on people and pastor would know what I'm talking about when I'm saying stuff like that. But I could put green lights on people. I would collect taxes, and I just had that power. And I remember Old Time Baptist Church. I got sentenced to 5 years. My last bid was 5 years here in New York State. I did armed robberies. That's how I made money. I was a stick-up kid. I was a thief. I was a drunk. I was a drug addict, crystal meth, cocaine, crack. I was crackhead for many years. And so I get into jail and had all this power. I was in Gowanda, and somebody said, hey, would you come in here? Somebody preach the Bible. The first time I ever heard of God, the first time I ever heard of Jesus Christ, this man Jesus Christ, first time I even heard of a Bible was when I first went to my first jail bed. I never heard of that. My mother never brought us to church. I never even stepped foot in the Catholic church. Never even looked at a Bible my entire life. I remember a correction officer down in Florida, mean, just mean guy. Him going home, off for 4 days, coming back onto his shift. And he's walking around whistling, and he's got a smile on his face, and that's just odd for this guy. And he keeps reaching in his pocket, and he's pulling these things out. I'm like, what is this? So at the time, I was a trustee. I came out, and I said, hey, man, what's going on? I said, what is going on? Why are you so happy? What, 4 days ago you left here, you weren't like that. He said, I end up getting born again. I said, what are those things in your pocket? He said, I'm learning scripture. You know what that did to me? For the first time in my life, I went and sat in a Bible study. Because I seen something happen to that man. I didn't have an understanding. I didn't have a clue what it was, but I knew that something different happened to that man. It made me go to my first Bible study. So, but now that's down in Florida. I'm serving an armed robbery bid down in Florida. At the same time, I got indicted in New York State for a first degree armed robbery. So now the judge has to run everything from Florida concurrent with everything that's going to happen in New York State. The feds come and get me down in Florida, they fly me to New York. They fly me to Buffalo to face that charge. I walk in front of the judge to be arraigned, and they're going to give me 12 and a half to 25. That's what I'm facing. I'm a tri-state felon. I got felonies in three different states, and they're just done with it. They're sick and tired of it. So I'm facing 12 and a half to 25, but I just remember, not a saved person, but I remember my interest being piqued in a Bible. Somebody handed me a King James Bible, and I remember it piquing my interest. Something was going on with this Bible. Something, it made me do something. It made me feel differently than I've ever done in my entire life. It gave me a comfort and a peace that I've never had. And I remember just saying, God, I can't do anything. I'm just going to leave it to you. And I remember taking the biggest exhale of my entire life.
Amen.
I wasn't saved. I'm thinking, it's all in his hands now. Whoever this God is, whoever this Jesus Christ is, it's got to be in his hands. There's nothing I can do about it. They come at me with a seven and a half to 15. I said, well, that's just what I'm going to do. This is what's going to happen. Going to pick the jury. We're on our way to pick the jury. They put me in the bullpen. My lawyer comes up and he says, Mr. Morey, they want to offer you a determinant at 5. Right now, 5 flat. No more, no less. You're going to do 5 years. I said, I'll take it. Mm-hmm. I was happy. I went back to the bullpen and I was excited. They're like, oh man, you must be going home. I said, no, I'm only going to have to do 5 years. I was excited for that 5 years. I still got the time running down in Florida. I got warrants out for me up in Vermont at the same time. In those 5 years, it all did get taken care of. But I remember being in Gowanda, finally getting transferred to Gowanda Correctional Facility. And a guy said, would you please come here, Old Time Baptist Church, preach a Bible. It's a Thursday night Bible study. Would you come? I said, yeah, I'll go. Sure, absolutely. I got in there, and I'm just telling you, man, when that man that stood up there, Pastor Lou Godano, the ex-mafia, standing up there preaching, they used to call him a hammer. Now, this dude is 300 some odd pounds. I mean, a criminal, biker, I mean, a mean, bad dude who got saved by Jesus Christ up there preaching the gospel. Amen. Amen. And I remember it just tearing my heart out. And I remember walking up to my brothers. And I remember telling them, I can't do this gang thing anymore. Every time I'd sit in that Thursday night, that man get up there and preach that Bible, it would just do something to my heart, it would do something to my thinking, and it was just tearing me apart, and I just couldn't handle it. I had to make a decision. Was I going to go with this Bible says, who I didn't even know what it says, I don't even know who this Jesus is, am I going to go with that, or am I going to go stick with my brothers? I got a choice to make. I'm not some little dude who's insecurity. I'm not some little guy who just joins to go out there and wants to be a warrior. I got power in this thing. And I finally made the decision in my room. I took a little King James Bible and I stuck it in my pocket. Unsaved. And I walked up to them and I said, I can't do this anymore. And I explained to them why. They said, come back next month. Because we used to have minis in the yard every month. They said, come back next month. I come back next month. And the leader, the president of the whole entire compound comes. And they've got me circled. And it's just me and him standing in a circle. And he says, tell me your story. So I told him. He says, you know how to get out of this, don't you? I said, I do know how to get out of it. He says, tell me. And I told him. And I was prepared for what they were going to do to me. They weren't going to just let me walk away. They were going to do bad stuff to me. I mean, horribly bad stuff. As an unsaved person, I stood there willing to take that. Because I just couldn't live the life that I was living anymore. I couldn't take it anymore. Him preaching that Bible was doing something to my heart, and I had to take a stand. And I didn't want to take a stand with them anymore. I wanted something different. He said, there is a third way out. What? I remember being shocked. What do you mean? He said, religion. I'll take the religion. What is the religion? I don't even know what religion is, okay? I'll take that. He said, well, here's what's going to happen. For 2 years, we're going to put a watchdog on you. We're going to watch and make sure you're not infiltrating us. We're going to make sure that you're not flipping on us. He goes, now I'm just going to tell you this right now. And he got my face and he says, if you try anything, we will hurt you. We will hurt you bad. And when they said that, they meant business. Believe me, they meant business. If you knew these guys, you'd know that what I'm saying is the truth. And so I went on and professed that I got saved. Empty. Empty. That void was still in my heart. That void was still in my life. There was something missing that I couldn't put a finger on because I had no clue. I'm like, what do you mean? You just told me to trust you for salvation. Everybody that ever told me to trust them for anything in my life hurt me. And now I have some man telling me, all you have to do is trust Jesus Christ for salvation. What? Trust who? You see, before I could trust anything, a miracle had to happen in my life called belief. I can promise you, as I stand here today, Jesus Christ never tells you to trust him for salvation, not one time in your Bible. Believe. All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Woo! That's wonderful. But how can they call who they don't believe? You see, God had to work in me to get me to believe because trust was an issue. Trust was something that I was never going to have in my life. Couldn't trust. And I met my poor wife when I got out of prison. When I met her, you think I trusted her? I didn't trust her. I didn't trust my mother. I didn't trust the guy next door. I didn't trust John Ask with my pastor, who wasn't my pastor. I didn't trust him. Oh, you just want me to come to your church. You just want me to be something in your church. You're just another religious guy I've met. Like, you know, it wasn't long after that I met Amy. It wasn't long after that we fell off. I went to street preaching. I went to the homeless shelters out in Buffalo, and I went out there preaching, lost. Leading people to Jesus Christ, lost. Knowing that emptiness was still in my heart. Knowing that it was not filled, that very thing that I've always been was still there. I just, you know, being a street person, being a gang member, we're chameleons. We can hide it real well. We can fit in with anybody. And that's what I was doing. I was just trying to fit in with anybody. Because I wanted to belong for the first time in my life. I wanted to belong to something. And so I was a chameleon trying to weave my way in this Christianity, but I'm just telling you now, God had my number. God had my number. He wasn't going to let me continue to live that way. And it quickly fell apart from me and my wife. So bad so that my beautiful wife that you see sitting there today used to pray that God would kill me. Because she loved me. She didn't want to divorce me. She seen something in me that I never seen. She seen something in me that society, my own family didn't see. But she said, Lord, I just can't take it anymore. I don't want to divorce him. Would you just take him out? Woo! How about that? 7 years ago, he sure crushed that old sucker, Dale. 7 years ago, I got saved. 7 years ago, he gave her a new husband. 7 years ago, he gave those two children back there a dad. 7 years ago, I got saved in October. I live on the floor, 90 and a half East Main Street. I end up getting saved. And my life changed upside down. You know what? That void that I always had was gone. I finally had a peace in my life. I thought, hey, brother, guess what? That night, that very night, I slept on the best pillow I ever had, and that was a clean conscience. Amen. For the first time in my life, I had a clean conscience, and I was able to go to sleep. And you know what? When I met Amy, I don't know, 17, 18, 19 pills a day they had me on. For every single diagnosis they had me on a pill. Bipolar disorder, explosive anger disorder, PTSD, post-traumatic stress, you name it, they had me on it. I take zero today. Amen. Nothing. You know what they didn't diagnose me with? All you're doing is miss Jesus. Why didn't they tell me that I'm just missing Jesus? Why didn't they just spare me trouble a long time ago and just say, hey, you know, Mr. Moore, you know why this thing ain't working? It's because you don't have Jesus. How about if I would have got Jesus a long time ago, Brother Paul Scott? The hurt and the agonies and the depressions and the addictions and all that, how much more would it change? But the thing was, nobody took the time to teach me how to believe. They were trying to make me trust somebody. Trying to make me trust something all the time. Trying to make me trust this and trust that. I'm going to say this. You weren't getting somebody like me to trust anything. When I go into a jail or a prison, I do not expect them to trust me or Jesus Christ. Where I have to start is in this and get them to believe.
That's right.
First and foremost, that foundation of belief has to be established or it'll never work. Yeah. It never will work. Let me just tell you a little bit about Liberty Behind Bars. When I first went to Allegheny County Jail, there was one, maybe two King James Bibles. You go, oh my goodness, well, what about now? Well, thank God, by His grace and mercy, let me just tell you the story. We've sent almost 6 cases of King James Bibles in their hand. You see, you bring a Bible in, they'll set it on a shelf, but if you send it to them through the mail, they get it in their hands personally. That's how I do it. When I got there, I would let anybody come in with any kind of Bible. Did not bother me one inkling. You know why? Power of the Holy Ghost. If the Holy Ghost cannot change those people's mind, what am I going to do?
Amen.
What am I going to do? Well, let me just tell you something. The Holy Ghost is doing pretty good having 6 cases of Bibles put in there, in their hands. Now, what if I would have went in there with my thoughts, with what I think? You see, I had to get rid of, God had to teach me a real hard lesson because, you know, I'm an ex-convict. I did many jails and prisons in 3 different states. And God had to teach me, Dale, I'm not sending you in there as a convict. I'm sending you in there as a man of God. I'm sending you in there to preach to these people. I'm sending them in there because you know what it's like to be in their shoes. You know what it's like to walk with them. You know what it's like, and they need to see Jesus in you. You know what made me interested in going to my pastor's church? Not him. Not what he believed in, not his church. I seen something in him that I never seen in another preacher in my entire life. I seen Jesus Christ. I met a lot of religious people. I met a lot of pastors and evangelists and all that when I was locked up in the jails and prisons. I met all those people. But all they were there is to put a notch on their belt and put my name there. John Ashworth was not that man. John Ashworth wanted me to see Jesus in him, and that's how he lived his life. He'd come to my house, and I mean, he'd tell me the truth. He never held back for 1 minute. There was times you could ask my wife where I wanted to punch him right in his face, and he'd look at me and say, Dale, and I mean, I've got my fist back, and I'm ready to hit him. And he'd look at me and say, I don't care if you hit me, Dale. It's not going to change my love for you.
That's
Get out. Get out of my house. Don't you step foot back in my house again. He'd leave and I'd go sit on the couch and I'd just be rocking back and forth. And I'd say, I want what he has. I want what he has. He has something and I want it. You know, at that time I didn't know what it was. I know it's Jesus Christ now, but at that time I didn't know what it was. And thank God he sent somebody in my way that I would listen to. Newly released inmates continued contacting me for support afterwards. So I don't just work with them while they're in prison and jail. I want to be involved in their life when they get out. Okay? And just to tell you a little something, I don't tell them what church I belong to, because that's not what I'm in there for. Okay? I'm not in there for it. But when they get out and then they're looking for a church, of course I'm going to bring them to my church. But let me just say this. Over and over and over again, I continually get attacked in the parking lot at Allegheny County Jail. Well, what church are you from? Everybody's all happy. Oh, from the Black Creek Baptist Church. Oh, you're one of them. Oh, you're one of them. Oh, you're one of them. Now, let's just say, these men and women are going to come in there and they're going to, I'm a Baptist, and oh, you're one of them. Those inmates are going to do the same thing, so I just keep my mouth shut, go in there and preach Jesus Christ. God will lead them to a church. God will bring them to the church. If that's where God wants them, he'll put them there. Amen. Now, if they ask me, I'm sure they'd open up. I'm sure tell them, and I'll tell them the reason why I am what I am. Okay? But I'm glad they contacted me afterwards. This ministry isn't built on just me working with them in jail and prison. I want to get in their life. I want to help them. Hey, you know, I want them to have what me and my wife have. I want them to have Jesus Christ and have a family sitting in church and have their lives changed and the peace and the joy that's beyond any understanding that they've ever thought. They don't have that. They don't have the peace of God that passes all understanding. I want them to have that. God help us. Marriage and individual counseling, I've been doing that. 30 to 40 Bible devotionals are sent out every 2 weeks. The Lord gives me messages, and I send out between 30 and 40 messages to individuals in prisons and jails across the United States. Okay? The Liberty Behind Bars, the local Allegheny County Jail, but because people move to prisons, they move to federal prisons and such, they bring that name out there, and these people want devotionals, they want things to study, they want the truth, and so therefore their name gets put out, and now I have about 30 or 40 different inmates throughout the United States that I send the devotionals to every 2 weeks. They get the truth, they love it. They love it. Thank God for what he's doing. Many are seeking salvation. I've been there almost 2 years. One person claims he got saved. You go, well, that's not a lot. I'm not in it for numbers. God asked me to go out there and preach. He'll take care of the rest. That's what I do.
That's right.
Let God take care of that.
That's right.
One got saved. One knows for sure. He just told us before he left. He said, Dale, I always thought I was saved. He goes, now I realize by the preaching of the word of God, I'm not saved. I don't have what you have. Good. It's time to get saved. He said, God's got to bring you to that point where you understand you just don't have it.
Right.
If a person can't get to that point, if a person can't get lost, they can't get saved.
That's right.
They got to become lost. Well, how they become lost? Right here.
That's right.
Listen to my mouth, ain't going to help them. I send them reading materials and study materials and stuff like that because it's very limited. Some of them don't even have families and they don't have that connections. And so we have churches that support us. And in that support, we get the envelopes, we get the stamps. We get, you know, reading materials, Bibles, and all that. We've been blessed. Brother Dennis Daynow, he's a Bible publisher out in Michigan, who gives me free Bibles every month. All I got to do is pay shipping. Those are the Bibles that are going into the inmates' hands. Okay? And I thank God that he's opened that for us. And then we have four pods. There's four housing units. And so every week, they call out for the Bible study. And it depends on the staff. Okay? It's a battle in there. I mean, it's a straight warfare. And sometimes the COs will let us in every pod, sometimes they won't. Okay? Sometimes they'll let us in the back with the inmates, sometimes they won't. It's a battle. You need to pray for us because we got to go in there and we're plowing that ground. But let me just tell you something. The devil don't like it. The devil can't stand it. And the doors are constantly being shut. It's a battle not only against the corrections department, but it's a battle against those other churches out there preaching a false gospel.
That's right.
They have more favor with anybody in those jails and stuff
Right.
There's somebody who has the truth. You know why? That's the devil's plan.
That's right.
And so it's about a pray for liberty behind bars. We need it. I covet your prayers more than I covet your wallet. I mean that with all sincerity. You pray for us. Thank God for liberty behind bars. Thank that he'll give the power on us. Thank that his word will go forth. It says that his word will not return void. That will accomplish what he wants. Pray that God give us that. Pray that God give us what we need to go in there and be able to give those people that stuff. And when they get home. You know, most of those, they call themselves ministries that go into that church. Once those people are released, they have nothing to do with them anymore. That's not how we do it. We want to be involved in their life. We want them to call us when they need help. I told Pastor this the last time I was here. I said, I can't even imagine while I was out there on the streets. What if I could have had somebody to call at 12 o'clock at night? Would that have changed something? It might have. Would that have stopped me from doing a robbery? Would that have stopped me from using drugs? I don't know that, but maybe it would. You know why? Do I ever shut my phone off, Amy? Where is it found? Right next to my bed, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, they can call me. Why? Because I want to be there for them. I want to be there for them, and I want to tell them, hey, Jesus loves you, man. There's help for you. You don't have to face this thing by yourself. They're out there alone. A lot of them have lost their family. They've lost everything. Is it their fault? Absolutely. But maybe that person was raped. Maybe that person was molested as a child. Do we know their background? No, we do not. So do we shun them? No. Jesus Christ says, go out on the highways and the byways. Go out there and get those people. Thank God he's given me a heart for them. I'm just going to tell you this. I was not looking for a jail ministry. I was happy doing Sunday school. They had a young adult Sunday school. I did not want to go into a jail or prison. I spent enough time in there. The only reason why I went and took the class is because somebody bugged me. They kept telling me, please go take the class so you can go and talk to these people. At least go and talk to them. I don't want to go talk to them. I'll deal with them when they get out. I don't want to be in there. Well, needless to say, I took the class. I took the class, and I could have probably taught the officers a lot more than they taught me. And you know what? I started going in there. It's probably my fourth time in there. April of 2016, I'll never forget it. April of 2016, I'm sitting in front of these people, and God just broke my heart. It crushed me. By the time I got out in the parking lot, I was flooded with tears. And I said, I know where you need me. I'm willing to go in here, Lord. I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do for these people. And I knew it from that moment on that I needed to be exactly where I'm at. I know exactly where I need to be. No longer do I want to run and get out of Allegheny County because it's a poor county. It's drug infested. There's prostitutes and everything else. And we live in the woods. And for 40 years, everybody's been running from these people. God said, Dale, you're staying here. Yes, Lord, I am. And I'm happy to do so. I'm content. Brother Paul, I didn't become content until April of 2016. And I've been out there for 14 years. Amen. You know why? Because I was seeking my will, seeking what I wanted to do. And I was refusing to call on God. God broke me in that April of 2016. I'll never forget sitting in my car just crying. And just telling the Lord, I'm here. Use me. Thank God for his mercy. Having favor with the correction officers and the staff. We're gaining that favor from them. They're starting to see that we're very faithful. So you only get about 8 to 10 Sundays. We got a Thursday night that we go every Thursday in the jail. But then they give you a scheduled Sunday. So we get about 8 to 10 a year. Before that, because most churches that sign up, they never show up. So every single Sunday, I would go sit in that parking lot at the Allegheny County Jail. And when those churches didn't show up, we went in. Because I know the consistency, I know what they need, and I want to be there for them. I love those people. If I could be in there 5 days a week with them, I absolutely would. And so I would go and sit there faithfully. And wait, and when the other churches didn't show up, we'd go on there and we'd teach them about Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Well, how long did that last, Dan? 4 months, maybe? About 4 months, and I got called in one time, and one of the sergeants, well, she said she was a Christian, cussed me out. She said, the next time you're on this property and isn't your Sunday, you'll be arrested. So I wasn't allowed to go sit there on Sundays anymore. That's just what we face there. It's the devil. He doesn't like us there. You see, Pastor would know this. I grew up with a us against them mentality. But you see, when I got saved, God changed that in me. Now I have a heart for those COs. I don't just pray for the inmates. I pray, Lord, if there's ever going to be any favor, if you read Daniel chapter 1, verse 9, Daniel had favor with all those in authority. How did he get that praying for them? How am I ever going to have favor with those people in the Allegheny County Jail? Pray that they get saved. Pray that they get saved. My prayer isn't just for the inmates, because you know what? Those officers need to. They're hurting. They're hurting. They have things going on in their life too that people have to say, well, I'm just here to work with the inmates. Shame on you. Jesus Christ died for the correction officers as well.
Amen.
You know why? There is no me against them anymore. God had to break that in me. Inmates are seeing answered prayers. We deal with inmates in county, state, and federal jails and prisons, rehabs, and halfway houses. I just ended up finishing my doctorate in counseling. Just got my doctorate in June, I think. By the end of June, we were getting ready to go up to Maine and preach a tent meeting. And I was able to finish my doctorate. And you know what that was for? Not for money. I don't get paid. That doctorate in counseling is to be used for those inmates and their families. That's what it's to be used for. I can start a business. There's none of that. But let me just say this. That because of my past history, they wouldn't give me a license to charge money anyway, and I believe God did that. I'm fully accredited, 100%, have my doctorate. Dr. Dale R. Moore is standing up here today, but I can't charge money, and that's okay, because that was never my intention. My intention was to get that so that I can have some knowledge on how to help these people. Hey, I can come from the street point of view. I understand that perfectly. But I needed some help understanding how God sees things. Let me make this clear before I get ready to close. Pastor Paul Scott would know what I'm about to say here. I didn't learn my Bible at any college, and thank God I didn't. I learned my Bible sitting at the pillar and the ground of the truth, which is my church. That's where I learned Bible. If I learned Bible from a college and got sent out, it'd be a mess. Just telling you, it's a mess. I learned my Bible from sitting at my kitchen table at 4 a.m. in the morning with the Holy Ghost of God teaching me. My pastor preaching, evangelist coming in. I learned my Bible sitting in my church, sitting at home, putting it in my heart. But the counseling program through the National Christian Counseling Association was second to none. Outstanding. That's why I took it, to be able to come biblically and help these people in counseling. Because let me just say this, the counseling of the world, all they want to do is push pills and push. It's not helping them. Rehabs aren't working. Mental hospitals aren't working. Jails and prisons are not working. It's a failure. What do you think can work? Jesus Christ will work. The problem is today, people don't believe it. I sit there in front of gang members. I sit there in front of murderers, and I preach Jesus Christ to them, but they do not believe that God can do it for them. If they believed it, their life would change. What you believe reflects in your life. Belief in your Bible is not just a stagnant word. Belief in your Bible demands an action. When you all came in, I didn't see one of you look at your chair and go, huh, I wonder if that'll hold me up. No, you sat in it. Why? Because you believed it. You believed it was going to hold you up. You trusted that it was going to hold you up. Therefore, you sat in it. Same thing with salvation. If people really believed in God, in Jesus Christ, in salvation, like they say they do, then why doesn't their life reflect it? Instead of sitting, they're standing. They're going the wrong way because they don't believe. You know when I started getting made free? The Bible says that... And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make.
That's right.
People always say set. That is so far from the truth. Because my whole life in jails and prisons and rehabs, I always got continuously set free. Jesus Christ made a better promise to me. He said, you'll know the truth and it will make you free. What's the difference? These are already here. They're already in existence. Therefore, I can set them there. But to be made doesn't happen until that very moment that Jesus Christ steps in your life and he gives it to you.
Amen.
For the first time in my life, I got something that I never had, made free. I was always set free by the world. I was always set free by society. I was always set free by the doctors and the rehabs and the jails and the prisons. But Jesus Christ made me free.
Amen.
He gave me something different than this world ever could. And you know what? In order to get these people to see, in order to get these inmates saved, you know what they're going to need? They're going to need to see this. That they can be made free with this.
Amen.
It's a failure out there. We're not helping them anymore. They say you can teach people how to, or you can give somebody a fish and feed them for the day, or you can teach them to fish and feed them for a lifetime. Here's what we got. Churches have become a secondary welfare system.
That's right.
We help people, but we're not teaching them the spiritual side. We're not teaching them how to go out there and live. We're not teaching them how to go out there. When I met my wife, I didn't know how to write a check. We needed somebody that's going to go out there, hey, get them saved. Get them in the church underneath the Word of God. But then we got to teach them some things. We got to teach them manners. We got to teach them how to speak. I can speak jail lingo all day long, man. I mean, just tell you something. When I get into jail, man, it all just comes out, and I speak to them on their level. But then you know what? When I come out, I'm Dr. Dale Morey. When I'm talking to a professional, I have to change the way I speak. I just learned that. Let me just tell you this about salvation real quick, and I'm done. We're in the process of getting a 501c3. 501c3, that gets us funds. Okay, there is no chaplain at the Allegheny County Jail. And we're in the process of trying to become that chaplain 5 days a week. In order to do that, that 501c3, Senator Kathy Young says she's got all kinds of money, all kinds of funds that she can give for us because there's nothing in the area that's doing what we're doing. The new vision is to help these people, to get them housing, to get them work, and so on and so forth. Well, that doesn't come just by what I make at work. And so God has opened the door for us to become a 501c3. We've got a corporate lawyer, which is my wife's father. Her uncle has a corporate lawyer that works for him. He's in the process of getting that done for us, and then we're going to move forward with that. But here's salvation real quick. Do you think that I have to continually convince Luke that he's my son? No, he knows that. I don't have to continue to sit there and tell Autumn, you're my daughter. No, it's natural to her. You know why? Because I am her dad. Well, that's what salvation is. When people start doubting, it's because they don't believe. When you got a second guess, if you're a child of God, there's something wrong. When you can't sit there and 100% with your heart really believe that you're a child of God, you have to second guess if you're a child of God. Something's going on. Let me just tell you this, and I'm done with that. I'm going to close with this, because this is what I have to teach the inmates. I got to go in there, I got to start a foundation of believing. If I start anywhere else, it's going to be a failure, just like everything else. Got to go in there and preach. Believe to them. Got to go in there and show them this. When a King James Bible is being preached, Brother Paul Scott, and the Holy Ghost of God is moving through the pews or in a service, it's not the devil making the doubt. It's the Holy Ghost of God telling you you're lost. How it all happened for me is when I finally came to the point and I got down on my knees and I said, God, I just don't believe. That was it. It was a whole clean slate. God came in and says, now I can work with you, Dale. There's two beliefs in your Bible. Mark chapter 9. Go read it. The man brings his son up to get healed of the devil. They go to the disciples. The disciples can't do it. Why? Because they're in their own pride. And in their own pride, they can't cast out the devil. Jesus Christ rebukes them later on. He says, they go, why couldn't we cast out the devil? He says, because some of these don't come up by prayer and fasting. You forgot about me. You need me to do that stuff. But then the father's standing there with Jesus, and he's standing there. He goes, well, what's going on? Well, my father, you know, my son, he's possessed with the devils and so on and so forth. And Jesus Christ said, the man goes to Jesus Christ, if thou canst make him whole. If? So we're going to come to Jesus with doubt? If thou canst make him whole? You see, he's already heard of Jesus Christ. He may have even seen some people get healed. But he's still coming to Jesus Christ with doubt. if thou canst believe. And I believe Jesus Christ had a little sarcasm in his voice, because the very next verse, Jesus Christ says this: if thou canst believe, all things are possible to them that believe. You know what the guy says? Now picture in your head, here's the man standing there. Didn't the boy get brought to get healed? Yeah. Why? Jesus Christ is dealing with the man. Why? Because the man's standing there in unbelief. He's standing there in doubt in front of Jesus Christ. And I can see him. Now your Bible doesn't say this, but I can see the man standing there, and he's going like this: Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief.
Yeah.
He knew of Jesus Christ. He's seen the healing. He's seen what Jesus Christ does, but you know what? He didn't believe it could happen for him or his family. In the very moment that that man does that, the boy gets healed, the man gets saved, and I bet you he goes home and he's preaching to his whole family.
Yeah.
You see, it's not a point of trusting, but come to that point of belief. When you can get people to believe, then they'll trust. You go and read Psalm 78:22. Can I just read that real quick, Pastor, and I'll close? Psalm 78:22. I want to show you many of these that are in your Bible, but I only have time for one. And I think you'll get Psalm 78, verse 22. And I'm going to read that real quick. And I just want you to see that there's an order to this thing. Psalm 78, 22. Okay? Because they believed not in God. And what? And trusted not in his salvation. I mean, there it's plain as day. If a person doesn't believe, they're not going to trust for salvation. It can't get any clearer than that. And that's only one of the many verses that tells us that. Just in the book of John alone, 81 times the word believed is used. 131 times the word believe is in your Bible. 117 of those times, it's in your New Testament. And it's all dealing with salvation. What do we think we need to get people to do? Trust Jesus or believe? We got to start with the belief. We wonder why we're losing this warfare. We're losing the warfare because we're going at it at an angle that used to work 20, 30, and 40 years ago and won't work today. Because Jesus Christ has so been taken out of the hearts, so has been taken out of the homes, so has been taken out of the schools, and there it is. Look at America. And wonder why we're in the mess we're in, because the belief. We had a 30-year-old girl sitting in our church point at the Ten Commandments and go, what are those? Oh, well, I need you to trust Jesus Christ. It ain't going to work. If I came up to you and I said, hey, I'm going to give you $1,000 a week for the rest of your life, think you'd trust me? You wouldn't believe me. The first week goes by. I come back the second week and say, I'm going to give you $1,000 a week for life. But I didn't give you nothing the first week. You think you're going to believe me and trust me? No, you're not. That's what people are doing with salvation. They're trying to get people to trust something they don't believe, and then when it don't work, they have to keep saying the same prayer over and over and over and over again. Why isn't it working? First, you got to deal with their unbelief. Then you can deal with their trust.
There you go.
After I got saved, after God gave me the miracle of belief, guess what he started doing? Teaching me how to trust him. Okay? That's how we need to deal with it. And so, please continue to pray for us. Continue to pray for Liberty Behind Bars. I may be having a surgery to get a pain stimulator. I got a lot of back stuff going on. Supporting churches, pray that God open the door for supporting churches. I'd rather, you know, I'm this kind of guy. Pray for us, okay? God will take care of the rest. You pray for us. We need Liberty Behind Bars. It needs a lot of prayer, especially right now. And so, on the back table, some prayer cards, our testimonies, mine and my wife's. Thank you guys for having us here. We look forward to spending some time with you guys. Pastor, I'm done.